Turning to glance at the egg-shaped tank, Delphi touched his throat.
Defend.
The lights in the cockpit instantly changed as more weapon systems activated, and the hull became lethally charged. Nimbly going over the side of the well, Delphi started to climb down, his fingers easily finding purchase. But then a rock came free, and he slipped a little. Snatching another handhold, more rocks came free, and Delphi found himself falling. The cyborg braced for the impact and activated his force field. He landed on top of something soft and yielding. Horrified that he might have just crushed Tanner, Delphi turned off the force field and scrambled along the wet rocks to finger the sodden material. It felt cold, not warm, and there was no coppery smell of fresh blood. His eyes opening to their fullest, Delphi still couldn't see anything. So he flexed his hand, and the palm monitor began to softly glow, the blue radiation oddly resembling moonlight. Now Delphi could discern that he was merely standing on top of the rest of the rope. Glancing around, Delphi saw that the bottom of the shaft was inches deep in water. Inspecting the rough stone walls at the bottom of the ancient well, Delphi thankfully saw no sign of blood anywhere, nor of Tanner, which meant the time traveler was still alive, somewhere. Then Delphi noticed the wide crack in the stone wall. There were a few loose threads sticking to the rough stonework, along with a tuft of silvery hair. Delphi started eagerly forward. So the well opened onto an underground river or stream. Well, that wouldn't help Tanner now. The old man was fast running out of places to go, and his capture was imminent. The fit was tight, but Delphi managed to squeeze through the crack by shoving a few of the loose stones out of his way. As one of the stones fell away, a small metallic sphere was revealed, sticking to the wall with a wad of chewing gum. Delphi barely had enough time to register that it was a military grenade. The strident chemical blast filled the well, smashing it apart, causing an avalanche of stones and timbers from above. But even as the flames, shrapnel, and debris raged impotently against Delphi's personal force field, the dirty water in the shaft flowed across his silvery slippers, and his force field winked out as if it had never existed. Caught in the last vestige of the detonation, Delphi was brutally slammed against the shattering wall, the ricocheting shrapnel hitting him in a score of locations. Red blood gushed from wounds as a large timber crashed down from above and smashed Delphi across the left knee with trip hammer force. White hot agony filled his leg as Delphi dropped. Long minutes passed before the reverberations of the booby trap faded away. Delphi raised a glowing hand to inspect the damage. There were countless small holes in his clothing, the ragged openings edged with crimson, but the bleeding had already stopped. Unexpectedly, there came a whiff of smoke, and Delphi opened his shirt to see a deep gash across his hairless chest. But the circuitry woven into his muscles and organs was already extruding monofilaments to suture the wound closed. The cyborg watched emotionlessly as the flesh and plastic joined together again, and a shiny ball bearing was pushed to the surface of his skin to drop away and hit the water. Picking up the piece of shrapnel from the grenade, Delphi scowled at it angrily, then tucked it into a pocket. A grim souvenir to remind him never to be so complacent again. Tanner had set a trap in the dark and on the run. Most impressive. It was just blind luck that Delphi had stumbled into water and grounded at his force field, or else the blast would have done nothing. The time traveler was simply lucky, nothing more. Stepping forward again, Delphi stopped when he found the damaged leg didn't properly respond. Mentally, he screamed at the auto-repair mechanism implanted into his body, but there was only a garbled reply from his internal mini-computer. Glancing upward, the cyborg tried to contact the tank with the same lack of response.
Damn it!
The very stones that hid Tanner from the thermal sensors also kept Delphi from accessing the emergency computer. He could climb to the surface, but by then Tanner would be long gone, and the hunt would begin again from the start. That was unacceptable. Pulling a stubby crystal wand from inside his sleeve, Delphi limped forward through the jagged crack in the earth, the glow of his palm shining like a beacon in the subterranean gloom. As Delphi splashed into the deepening water, He discovered it was a shallow stream. The thermal sensors in his clothing registered an average temperature of 50 degrees. Clearly, this had to be made of the melted snow running off the Mohawk Mountains. Delphi looked around for any more traps. The rocks exploded just to the left of Delphi's glowing hand. Contemptuously, he sneered at Tanner's bad marksmanship. Delphi was slammed in the chest by a white-hot sledgehammer. Crumpling to his knees, Delphi blindly stabbed back with the crystal wand. The sizzling crimson beam, lancing along the waterway, dangled down and touched the surface. The fluid erupted into steam, creating a cloud that soon filled the subterranean passageway. The next two shots from Doc's Lama went wild and only hit the walls and ceiling. Gritting his teeth, Delphi waited for his body to effect repairs from the wound in his primary heart, his secondary one pumping wildly to compensate. In short order, the bleeding stopped. But the wound remained open, the raw muscles and wiring in plain sight, and the pain merely lessened to a dull ache.
Damn!
He'd been afraid of that. He'd received too much damage too fast. His resources were waning, and the microfilaments were unable to perform a full repair on the spot. With the force field canceled by the river, this meant the time traveler's primitive weapons could now reach Delphi, do real damage, even endanger his life. Swallowing hard, Delphi turned to glance at the vertical passage of the well and seriously considered a retreat. Then he turned with a grim expression and boldly stood. No agent of Coldfire was going to run from an old man with a popgun. Setting the charge on the crystal rod to maximum, the grim cyborg started sloshing through the water in search of his elusive prey. Following the flow of the water, Doc paused to glance behind again at the thinning cloud of steam rising from the boiling stream. Thankfully, just like the sewer tunnel near Blaster Base 1, the walls of this underground river were covered with luminescent green moss. Were the two tunnels connected? It was possible, even though the redoubt was more than 100 miles away. Arizona was famous for its underground rivers and caverns. The nuke war had to have simply opened new fissures to honeycomb the whole state into a subterranean warren. For one horrible moment, it occurred to Doc that the water could be deadly radioactive, but without a rad counter like those worn by Ryan and JB, he had no way of knowing. He dashed forward, trying to find an exit to the surface. The air was sweet and clean down here, not dank in the slightest, so there had to be a direct route to the desert. All he had to do was find it, then use a grenade to block the path after he was through. Past that idea, Doc wasn't really sure what he would do, so he just concentrated on getting out, and he'd have to move fast. The stream was icy cold. Already his feet were feeling numb, his steps becoming a bit clumsy. If Doc stayed down there too long, he would soon be unable to walk, and Delphi would catch him for sure. Setting his jaw, Doc took out one of his last grens and pulled the pin. Kneeling in the freezing water, he found a large flat rock and placed the sphere carefully underneath. Withdrawing his dripping fingers, Doc eased away from the crude booby trap until a curve in the passage took it out of sight. Just then, a shimmering beam of intense red stabbed along the river and hit the distant wall. Instantly, there was an explosion of rock, and a section of the luminous moss died. But that gave Doc an idea. Doc charged to the opposite side and got as far away from the energy weapon as he could. The companions had encountered laser beams before. Nasty weapons. Mirrors didn't reflect the beam unless the surface was flawless, which few mirrors were, even back in pre-dark days. Mildred said lasers were used in surgery to cure all sorts of ills, but Doc had never encountered any of those. He only knew the military lasers, energy beams that were powerful enough to stab through armor plate. People boiled inside their skin when the beams touched them, and death was a blessing when it finally arrived. And that was his edge. Delphi still wanted Doc alive. These shots were all high in an effort to scare him into doing something foolish. But the moment Delphi decided that Doc was getting away, the laser stabbed out again, and Doc spun to level the Lama. But he withheld triggering the blaster and waited, trying to hold his breath and listen past the choppy water. Doc knew that moving too fast or too slow would mean being targeted. Then the beam could come again and end his tribulations. He thumped back the big hammer on the Lama.
Come, Thor, throw your lightning, and I shall eagerly play Loki.
In the strobing red light, Delphi was momentarily visible, his white clothing soaked in fluids, black wires sticking out of his flesh, like the antennae of an insect. Then, as Dot watched, the gashes in Delphi closed all by themselves, and the bleeding ceased. At the sight, Dot felt his heart lurch.
Dear God Almighty, Delphi is a cyborg!
Part man and part machine. Just like the Wizard or the Magus, only a much more advanced model, or version, or whatever the right damn word was for the abominations. Desperately, Doc patted the pockets of his frock coat and felt for the two remaining Grens. Both were anti-personnel and useless against the man-machine. Without another thermite Gren, just like the one he used on the Warwag, or an Implo Gren, Doc didn't stand a chance in hell against a cyborg equipped with energy weapons. Escape was his only option. Sliding behind a lumpy rock, Doc held down the trigger of the Lama and fanned the hammer. The booby trap had been found. Turning, Doc frantically ran away. Thanking JB for insisting that he carry some of the new weaponry, Doc holstered the empty Lama and eased out the Ruger to risk a shot on the run. The muzzle flash seemed unnaturally bright in the splotchy darkness, and with every shot, Doc stepped to the side. Reaching a section of dead moss, Doc crouched in the dirty water and quickly began to reload the Ruger. The Lama was wet, utterly useless for the time being, aside from the shotgun charge. Doc would save that for an emergency. The shotgun charge of double-aught stainless steel buckshot could cut a person in two. What it would do to a cyborg, Doc had no idea, but he wasn't really eager to find out. The laser stabbed again, sizzling the water into a blast of steam. Then, touching the wall, it swept along low. Biting back a curse, Doc crouched lower as the beam swept overhead. He shivered from the combination of the icy water and the hot wind of the mauling power ray. Okay, Delphi had the superior weaponry, Doc admitted gruffly, closing the blaster and easing back the hammer. But Delphi was no combat soldier. If all of Doc's travels with Ryan and the others had taught him anything, it was how to fight. Delphi was judging a book by its cover, which was always a foolish thing. But that gave Doc another idea. Wading through the cold water, Delphi paused as the sparking wires in his crippled hand slowly withdrew into his skin, and the fingers were able to move once more. That grenade under the water had been a good trick, Delphi admitted grimly, flexing his palm as the last few traces of damage faded away. Tanner was clever. No wonder he had escaped from Whisper and Kronos. But he was facing Coldfire now, and that division never failed. Half of the work of Coldfire was repairing the damage done by the other two bureaucratic agencies. Delphi closed his eyes for a moment, then opened them again, and the darkness of the tunnel was gone, replaced by an eerie black-and-white view. Glancing at the rippling surface of the shallow river, he saw his eyes as silvered mirrors, expanding and contracting as the need for light fluctuated. Standing still, the cyborg waited for the moving water to quiet. The cold water was making his broken knee throb, but he banished the pain from his mind and listened for the labored breathing of the elusive scholar. Somewhere in the dark sections, a rock slipped and splashed into the stream, but Delphi did nothing. That could have happened naturally, or been a diversion. The cyborg needed to wait until he knew for sure where Tanner was located. Only then would he strike with the stunner and take the damn fool alive.
Dear God. What in... Damn it!
Were there stickies down here? Delphi raged furiously. The idiot muties were going to ruin everything! Charging along the waterway, Delphi boosted the light from his hand until he was a nimbus of illumination, filling the craggy passageway for a dozen yards.
Get away from the norm! Do not harm that norm, my children!
Reaching a bend in the tunnel, Delphi now knew why Tanner had disappeared off his instruments. Stalactites festooned the roof like the fangs of a prehistoric beast, the cold stone interfering with the readings of his sensors. Beyond the stalactites, the stream stretched into the distance, but there was no sign of Tanner or the stickies. Had it been a trick of some kind? Something moved behind him, and Delphi glanced over a shoulder to see a loose section of the glowing moss fall away to expose Doc holding two guns. It was an ambush. Spinning, Delphi tried to bring up his crystal rod when Doc fired the Lama. The shotgun charge blew off the cyborg's hand at the wrist. The wand went flying as Delphi staggered backward, clutching the mutilated limb, blood spurting from the severed arteries. Tripping on a submerged rock, Delphi went over backward to land on top of a granite outcropping just as the second blaster discharged. Only then did Delphi realize that his moccasins were out of the water and the force field was back, the immaterial barrier shimmering a soft rainbow effect around the wounded cyborg. Blood was still pumping from the end of Delphi's shattered wrist as Doc savagely swung the blaster to try to pistol whip Delphi. But the weapon bounced off the force field with no effect whatsoever. Fighting to stay conscious, the panting cyborg watched as black wires erupted from the end of his arm to start making hasty repairs.
Looks like a stalemate, Tanner. I can't hurt you, and you can't harm me.
Doc holstered his weapons.
The only thing without limit is foolishness.
Now what did that mean, Delphi wondered, reaching behind his back for the miniature 1mm HK Needler hidden there. But he found only an empty holster. The gun had to have fallen out when the well exploded. Kneeling in the muddy water, Doc came up with the crystal rod, the severed hand still gripping it. Removing the hand, Doc leveled the rod at Delphi. But nothing happened. He tried changing his grip, but the result was the same.
It only works for me, fool.
Delphi smirked, cradling his tattered arm. The bleeding had already stopped, and the pain was fading quickly.
Let us see, shall we?
Retrieving the hand, Doc wrapped it around the rod, then squeezed the disembodied flesh with strong fingers. Instantly, the rod emitted a searing power ray tuned to its last setting. The beam cut through the gloom and stabbed into the stream, creating another geyser of steam. Temporarily blinded, Doc grimly held on, trying to point the laser at Delphi. However, the hand seemed reluctant to aim at its owner, and the beam went wide, cutting a white-hot slice through the roof.
What are you doing?
Delphi started to slide off the outcropping, but he paused at the sight of the swirling water below. One step into that, he was helpless. As the beam cut in deeper, the hand holding the rod began to sizzle softly, the flesh cooking from the excess heat.
Wait!
Delphi cradled his crippled arm.
We can make a deal! I'll send you home!
Amid the mounting destruction, Doc paused, a fleeting dream of hope quickening his heartbeat. He looked hard into the face of the cringing cyborg, and the truth was clear.
Fire!
Doc widened the circle of annihilation above them, cutting away the supporting stones.
If I must die, then I shall take you to Hades with me!
An avalanche of loose dirt and rocks began pouring into the stream and covered Delphi completely. The whole tunnel was shaking, rocks crashing down everywhere around Doc as he waved the energy beam madly around, extending the damage as far as he could. Then the beam winked out, drained of power, or deactivated by the death of its master. Flipping the grisly trophy away into the murky green darkness, Doc took off at a run, desperately splashing downstream in an effort to outrace the spreading destruction.